Be'ez Hashem Mitzvah, we begin Perek Shlishi, the third chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Avodah, Laws of Slaves, in the Sefer Kinyan Book of Acquisitions, where we continue the theme of the previous parakim discussing the laws of the Eved Ivri, the Hebrew slave, specifically regarding the wife of the slave, regarding the halacha of Ritzia, of making a hole in his ear, and regarding halacha when you send him free to send them with gifts. As Ramagan's halacha alf regarding the obligation to support the family of the slave. So kol Eved Ivri, every Hebrew slave, his master is obligated to give food, to provide sustenance for his wife that's married to him. Now, specifically married, not if she's only engaged him, because the pasuk says, the wife that's with him, the one that's engaged is not with him. So too, it would not include the woman that's waiting, if his brother died without any children, waiting for him to do a yibum, that's also not his wife. But if it's his wife, the master has an obligation to feed her. But as long as this woman that he's married to is permitted to him. But if she was someone that's prohibited because of a negative prohibition, even if a secondary, a rabbinic prohibited woman, then he doesn't have to feed that wife. It says in the pasuk, his wife that's with him, which is isha ha'ulam, it has to be a wife that's fit to stay with him, not that which is prohibited to him. He has to feed his sons and his daughters. Now, we find this by both types of Hebrew slaves. Regarding the one that's sold by the courts when he steals and he has no money to pay. The pasuk says, "Imbal ishahu," if he's a man with a wife, then his wife leaves with him. Now the question is, did you entertain the thing, once this slave is acquired, that his wife also becomes indebted into slavery? So what does it mean she goes out with him? Rather, it's not coming to teach Ella only the concept that the master has to feed her too, and therefore that's why she's there with him when he's a slave. That's regarding being sold by the courts. When someone sells himself, the pasuk says, he's going to go out from you, him and the sons with him, which obviously is telling us that his family is with him. Now, regarding the one that's sold to a Gentile, it says, he goes out in the Jubilee year, him with his sons with him. So, echad isha avonim shayil b'shas mechira. This is whether it's the wife and the children that he had at the time of the sale, or isha avonim shayil acha mechiras, or even if this is the wife and the children he got after he was already sold, as long as buyishi kechenim b'das adon, as long as he married her with the consent, the awareness of the master, because he's going to be obligated to feeding them now. Avon mekachas shlem das rabba. But if he married her without the awareness of his master, in the chayv b'mezayin said, then he would not be obligated in feeding her. Halacha beis, although the master is obligated to feed the man's wife and his children, he doesn't get anything in return. Where although a husband generally, who has an obligation to feed, gets her earnings, the master doesn't get this slave's wife's earnings. Rather, her earnings and her fines go labala to her husband. And whatever any husband merits in his wife, this one, her husband, also merits. Although he's a Hebrew slave, he still gets, like a regular husband, his wife's earnings and her mitzvahs. Halacha Gimel continues regarding the permissibility of marrying a non-Jewish maidservant. So, Mishum Macharu Bezin, someone that was sold by the courts, Yesh L'Rabba Litna Shufcha Kananis, his master can give him a non-Jewish slave woman of his, Bein Ha'adon, whether it be the master, or Bein B'nai Shal Adon, whether it be the son of the master, Imeisav, if his father had passed away. Had his nice little shivcha, he could give him a maidservant, but kafeos, and they could force him on this. So that he can have children that are slaves from this Jewish slave with the non-Jewish slave woman. And this slave woman, wife, has permitted him all the days of his slavery, like it says in the pasuk in Shemais, if his master is going to give him a woman, etc. However, the one who sells himself, also shivcha is forbidden in a non-Jewish slave woman, just like any other Jewish man is forbidden. In Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave is not permitted in a non-Jewish slave woman, only if he also has a Jewish wife and sons. But if he doesn't have his own wife and sons, then his master cannot give over the non-Jewish slave woman. But that was a Kabbalah, and that's the tradition in Jewish law. Even if the one that was sold was a Kohen, again, if the court sold them and the master wants, he's allowed to be married to a non-Jewish slave woman all the days of his slavery, although Kohen has more prohibitions regarding who he's allowed to marry. However, this is still permitted for him too. Halachai. Now, if he did have a son, a wife and children, So Av Bisham Meisler Rabbi Shabbat Hakananz, although we said, okay, then his master give him over a non-Jewish slave woman, but in Yochel Afrisham Yesh Tabonim, he cannot separate him from his own wife and kids. And like it says in the Pasuk, Ish Ima, his wife is with him. Moreover, in Yochel Litin L'Shteish Shafachis, he cannot give him two maidservants, and V'Lilitin Shivcha Achas, neither could he give over one maidservant L'Shnei Avodav Ivrim to his two Jewish slaves. K'derech Shanoes L'Kananim, like the way he does for the non-Jewish slaves. Kashnemitz in the Pasuk, Yitin Loi Isha, has to give to him a woman. Both are singular. Nitzer Shemasalei Rabbi Shivcha Kananis. Regarding a Jewish slave who doesn't want to leave after his allotted time and is going to stay till Yevil, so they make a whole Nazir, as we're going to shortly explain, where the master gives him a non-Jewish slave woman. V'Gia Yevil, now it gets the Jubilee year. V'Hoye Rabbi Mesar Bailatze, so his master is pressing him to leave because it's no more slavery after the Yevil year, even after becoming an Eretzah. V'Nirotz Latze doesn't want to leave, very happy with his family. V'Chavel Boy, and the master injures him, trying to get him out the door. Patri is exempt. Why? Shari Nesa B'Shivcha, because his slave is now prohibited in the maidservant, because it's already after the Yevil year and doesn't have any heter anymore, and whoever hits his friend to try to separate him from an Isser is allowed to go ahead and injure him. Halacha Vav continues regarding this halacha that we're talking about of making the evident to a nirtza, which is Hamaychir Asma. If someone sells himself in a nirtza, he does not have this option about staying longer and through this process we're going to explain. Of Macharu Bezdin, but if he was sold by the courts, of Avashesh, and already passed the 6 years that he has to spend over there, but he doesn't want to leave, and as a nirtza, they could do this process of ritzia, of boring a hole. And then he ends up working more than the 6 years up until the Yevil year, until the master passed away. Halacha Zayin. Now, Avbeshanich Ben, although he leaves over a son, in the Nirtza Abed Zaben, this slave that has a hole in his ear who works to the Yevil year does not serve the son, which Mepiash Mulam, different tradition they learned, says, Vavadai, he serves him, which is like to him, to the master, below the B'nai, and not to his son, because that's the exclusionary terminology of Avadai. And when it says the pasuk la'olam forever, means la'olam mesha yevil, means to say not forever ever, but to the everlasting cycle of the yevil year. And it says lamad, it comes out that you learn shanirtza in a kindness asmai, that the one who had his ear bored a hole does not acquire himself il b'yevil, either by the yevil year or b'misadin or the death of his master. Halacha chas ever every kain. Now if the Jewish slave is a kain in a nirtza, does not have this option of having a hole in his ear. Mishnas ba'mum, because that would make him blemished. And it says in the pasuk, "Veshav mishpachti," he has to go back to his family when he ends up being freed, which is lachazaka shayiba, to the previous status that he was, which he will be a baal mum and not be able to do the regular thing as a kohen who cannot do the avodah of his blemish. Although ve'inashav lasrada shayiba, he does not go back to the leadership role that he had, but he has to be able to go back to what his previous status was, which would not be if the kohen ebed ivri would become a nirtza. Halacha test. Now, ketzad roitzim, how do they do this procedure of making him into an ebed nirtza? So he brings him to a court of three judges, and the slave says his narrative, his words in front of the judges, like the pasuk says in Mishpatim, I love my master, etc. Now he brings him to the court at the end of the 6 years, to a door, or to the doorpost when it's standing in the structure, not just a doorpost laying on the ground, and bein delas and mezuzah shaladin, whether it be the door or the doorpost of the master or benchel kolad, whoever's door it is. Now you make a hole in his right ear, in the actual ear itself, not by the ear lobe, with a metal awl, and that's why it makes him into a balmun. Until it actually goes through the ear and it hits the door. Shemak says in the pasuk, that you're going to make the hole in his ear and in the door, as it says in Devarim. Now, so why say the doorpost? They're just telling us that it should be standing bein etzel delas bein etzel mezuzah, by whether it be by the door or by the doorpost, and it's just teaching us mezuzah. It's just like the doorpost is standing. Avdelas kishemedes, the door also has to be, because a doorpost is only a doorpost when it's standing. A door is always a door, but therefore the door also has to be standing up. Aval ritzia, but the actual boring of the hole, says the Rambam, is badelas, has to be in the door apish ein mezuzah, even if there is no doorpost. Now it's the master who makes the hole himself. Shlomik says in the pasuk in Shemayis v'ratz adoinav that his master makes the hole. Loi benoy, not his son, v'lishluch, not his agent, v'lishlich, but not the agent of the court. And be'ein ritzin shnei avodim k'achad, you cannot do this procedure of ritzia through the holes of hole through the ears by two slaves at the same time. Kashein oisim mitzvahs chabilas, which is generic halacha, you don't make mitzvahs into bundles. So you do each mitzvah individually. Halacha it continues regarding certain stipulations for the halacha of ritzia. Now, it says in the Pasuk over there, Omer Yomer Eved, if the slave will surely say. Now, it says a redundant terminology, Omer Yomer, which teaches us, as a Yomer B'Yishna, he has to say it once and he has to repeat it a second time to say, oh, I love my master, I don't want to leave. And it says, Ha'eved, the slave, which means, as a Yomer Kshu Eved, he has to say it when he's still a slave. That is, Avalim Omer Achar Shesh, but he says after the 6 years already elapsed, in Nirtz, he can't not become a Nirtz anymore because he's already a free person. Rather, it's until he says it and repeats it b'seiv sheish at the end of the 6 years, b'tchilas pruta achrein, in the beginning of the last pruta, which is the lowest denomination of currency. In other words, the first statement is said in the beginning of that pruta. The second statement is within the last pruta, and it all combines with the first statement. It's as if everything was in the beginning of the last pruta that he still owes as a slave. Ketzet hausom. For example, it's remaining from the last day of a slavery, Shabbat Pruta, a Pruta is worth midmei mechirasai from the value of his sale, or yes, or a little bit more. But if it's already less than the Shabbat Pruta worth, and the waning minutes of his slavery, it's not even worth a Pruta, like I already said after Sheish, because it's not any something significant of monetary value, and therefore it would be too late. Halachi Yidalf. If the slave had Shivcha Kananis, a female non-Jewish maidservant, and he had from her sons. And the master actually did not have a wife and kids. Now he cannot become a nirtza to stay on longer than the 6 years. Kashem the Apostle says in the bottom, the halacha when the Torah nirtza, because he loves you and your family, and therefore he wants to stay on. So it has to be beisecha. Now let's say the other way around. Let's say the master has a wife and kids. But he never gave to that slave. He doesn't have a wife and kids. He cannot become a nirtza. It says in the pasuk, "Ahavti es adoni es ishli v'zbonai." I love my master, my wife, and my kids, and he doesn't have that, so there's no halacha of nirtza. Let's see who oibes rabbi. Let's say he loves his master, but rabbi inu oibes, but his master doesn't love him. In a nirtza, cannot become a nirtza. Why? Because the pasuk says over there, "Ki tov le'imach," because it's good for him with you. It's only with you if you love him. Let's say rabbi oibes. Let's say his master loves him, but who oibes rabbi? But he doesn't love his master. In a nirtza, cannot become a nirtza. Shnemek says in the pasuk, "Ahivcha," because he loves you. That is the slave loves the master. Let's say huchayla. Let's say the slave is sick, but his master is not sick. In a nitzik, now become a nitzik. Shlomik says in pasuk table imach, it's good for him with you. You have to be both the same. And if he's sick and the master is not sick, it's not the same good as he has it with, as the master has it. Let's say rabbi chayla b'hu einochayla. Let's say master is sick and he's not sick. Or shayushneim chalim, they're both sick. In a nitzik also cannot become a nitzik. Shlomik says in pasuk table imach, it's good for him with you. At shayushneim etev, until again they both have a good. And if one of them is sick, it's not the same good. So the Rambam summarizes, says, what are the differences between someone who sells himself and someone who is sold by the court? So meicher atzmo in a nirtza, and that's where it relates back to what we're saying now. So someone who sells himself cannot become a nirtza. Mechuru bez nirtza, but if he was sold by the court, he can become a nirtza. So to meicher atzmo, someone who sells himself, also b'shevchei kananis, forbidden in the non-Jewish maidservant. Mechuru bez nirtza, sold by the court. So rabbi meicher b'shevchei kananis, the master could give him over a non-Jewish maidservant. If someone sells himself, he could technically sell himself to a Gentile. But someone who is sold by the courts, in is only sold to a Jew. That if your brother is going to be sold to you. That it says in the Pasuk, the courts only sell him to you. Someone sells himself, he can sell himself for 6 years or even more than 6 years. Sold by the courts, and again, that's always only for stealing. In Nimkalashesh, could only be sold for 6 years. And finally, Moicher Atzmoi, someone who sells himself, Ema Nikonoi, we don't give him gifts when he's leaving. Macharu Bezen, someone who's sold by the courts, Ema Nikonoi, we give him gifts when he's leaving. Halacha Yud Gimel. Mepiash Mo'olamdu, from tradition, they learned, She'ini Isha Nertas, a woman cannot become a Nertas, this halacha of having to stay till Yevu. And Mechen Yerom, in Akas, so too, you could see this from the context of the Pasuk. Because it says regarding the nirtza, it says the guy says ahavti es adoni, says oh I love my master as ishti, my wife as bonai, my kids. So it's a man talking about a wife, and it's not by a woman saying about her husband. What does it say in the pasuk then vavla maschot hasakin, that also to the maidservant you should do like this, which seemingly is a continuation of the parasha of nirtza, because it's going now right after talking about the maidservant. So regarding the Jewish maidservant, no, that's lahanik. That's talking about a different idea that's previously mentioned. You're going to give him the gifts. Shekashem Shemitza, say lahanike, but every just to tell you that you have to load up the Jewish slave when he's leaving. Kachmanik amavri, so you have to load up the gifts, the Jewish maidservant. As the Rambam contains halacha Yudal, this halacha of loading up the gifts when you free them. So kol mishleich abdiv amasarekim, whoever sends out his slave and maidservant, Jewish ones, rekam empty-handed. Like a say, violates a negative prohibition. Something like this in the pasuk, lechel rekam shouldn't send them empty-handed. But by the verse remedies this with a positive commandment. Something like this in the pasuk, hamdik technically should surely load them up with gifts, which is if you send it out, go ahead and give the gifts to remedy that prohibition. Whether he's leaving at the end of 6 years, leaving in the Yebel year, the death of the master, and so to the Jewish maidservant, that she leaves in any one of these ways you mentioned, or the added way that she has, which when she reads puberty, they have to load them up with gifts. But if the slave is going out because of the diminishing of the purchasing price, which they're able to redeem their way out by paying up whatever's remaining left, then they don't have to give them the gifts. Shnemach says in the pasuk, when you're going to send them free from you, which is when you're sending them out. Here, the master is not sending him out free. Rather, the slave is given the rest of the monies which are remaining to him that he still has to work, and then he leaves. So therefore, there's no halach of hanaka. Now it says in the pasuk, "Ha'anig tanik loy, you shall surely load him up mitzaincha from your flock, or migarncha from your granary, mikvecha from your wine vat." Which, why does this pick these specific things? The inyan tzayin gurim yakir has to be similar to the context of sheep and grain and of wine, which are dvarim shishben v'racha machmas atzma. That these are things that have blessing intrinsically from themselves. Hu shechayv l'hanik lehem. Those are the types of things that you have to load them up with. But regarding money, which doesn't actually develop on its own, and garments, in the chayvelim lamehem, that you don't have to give them from for the obligation of hanaka. Now, how much is hanaka the minimum obligation? It's not less than the value of 30 slum, whether it's from one type, whether it's from many different types. Just like the same 30 slum that we know, that if someone has a situation when he kills a slave, that he has to pay 30 slum, like it says in the pasuk, he has to give that amount to the master of the slave that he killed. And here it also says, titin loy, which that's also 30 slum. And this is whether the house was blessed because of the slave, whether it wasn't blessed because of him. Like it says in the pasuk, you should surely load him up. That's become in all situations. So the question is, why is the pasuk that Hashem blessed you because of the slave? It's just telling us that everything according to the blessing, that's how much you have to give him. In other words, if there was a blessing in the house because of him, then you have to add on. But even if not, you don't diminish less than 30 slum. Im barach. If the slave fled, which he still owes certain years of the slavery that he was sold for, and now the jubilee year comes in the middle of when he's as a fugitive, so he goes out free, then you don't have to load him up with gifts. Shnemekah says in the pasuk, when you're going to send him, etc., which then it's hanik tanik loy. But in this situation where you didn't send him out, you have an obligation. Now, enik ebed ivri, these gifts that this Jewish slave gets when he leaves, is la'atzmais for himself. And ve'im malchev gavimena, although he has creditors that could take from stuff that he gets, they have no rights for this, because it says hanik tanik loy, which is for him and not for his malchev, not for his creditor. Ve'enik amavriya, now the gifts that the Jewish maidservant get, v'chem etziyasa so to her found objects, are lavia, they go to her father, which as every minor. Now, if her father dies before he gets these gifts, then it belongs to herself, meaning her brothers who inherit the father don't have any rights to these things at all. Because the person cannot bequeath the rights, merits that he has in his daughter to his son. It's not something that he has, it's rights that he has, and those rights he does not go over in Yerusha, and therefore she gets it and not her brothers.